This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pete Alonso, for months we have talked about, every Mets fan has talked about Pete Alonso coming up big. Maybe tonight will be the night. Maybe today will be the day. Maybe the postseason he will wake up. And he comes up with an opportunity to take the lead with also an opportunity to hit into a double play. And I'm sorry, but after him dropping that pop-up when he's up there in that situation, I did it. I texted my mom, who's a diehard Mets fan. I texted three other friends. You know that the season's going to end with a Pete Alonso double play. And he hits the opposite field home run for one of the most memorable moments we have had. That's two now. Two in a week that you're never going to forget in your lifetime as a Mets fan. They move on to Philadelphia. It really doesn't get more amazing than that. This 2024 team, at the very least, has given Mets fans moments that they will never forget.
I mean, the only way I can explain this is that there's a stat out there that I read this morning. I read it last night. I wanted to make sure that it's accurate, and I do believe that it is accurate. Pete Alonso of the Mets is the first player in MLB history to hit a go-ahead home run while trailing in the ninth inning or later of a winner-take-all postseason game. And that's the beauty of this home run compared to, like, Francisco Lindor's. Both unbelievable moments, both but different because this is an elimination game. They were down. They weren't doing much. Jose Quintana was awesome. Jose Buto didn't have his stuff. Give Carlos Mendoza a lot of credit for yanking him when he did, because, you know, who knows where that goes if he doesn't get him out of there. We also got to give credit to Edwin Diaz for throwing a ball, you know, I think he had 39 pitches. And then there was the discussion after the home run. All right, what's he going to do? And I'm on the same text threads, maybe not as you, but the same type of text threads.
Sure, yeah.
So all of my text threads were saying, as Pete Alonso was approaching the plate, this is your moment. Please, this is your moment. Just do it. We all want you to do it. You've been stuck in neutral. Just please. You couldn't ask for a better opportunity, and then for him to come through. Look, all of us Met fans, I think what makes this even better for us is that it was Pete Alonso, and that we were and have been and been praying that somehow, some way, he would have an impact with his bat at the biggest moment. And man, oh man, oh man, it doesn't get any bigger than that. It's never been done before. So Jose Quintana was great. Edwin Diaz did his job. Francisco Lindor was amazing. Getting the walk in the top of the ninth inning was great. Brandon Nimmo comes through with a hit. I don't know why I didn't try to steal second base, but that's a different story. That's a whole other, forget that. And then, of course, Pete hits the home run. And then, you know, how about Jesse Winker? Jesse Winker does steal second, and Marte drives him in with an insurance run. And then, of all people, David Peterson throws seven pitches.
Yeah.
And it ends with a double play, all individually made by Francisco Lindor. So from this Met fan who's been around for a long time, and we've seen a lot of amazing things from 86 to 73 to 69. I mean, we've seen a lot of amazing moments. These two moments that have happened in the last week, and then watching all the folks that were at Citi Field react to it. So, you know, I didn't get out of bed. I mean, I just stood there. I was stunned.
Oh, yeah.
And I was happy, but I was stunned. But I will say this, that I know exactly how every single one of us felt just by watching that reaction at Citi Field.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of those truth is stranger than fiction things. I mean, this was a Disney movie. This was a 30 for 30. I mean, to just everything leading up to it, contract year, disappointing. He trips over his bat. He drops the foul pop off. Everybody's laughing at him. You're down to your final breath on a team that has always come back, but he's been the one guy who hasn't joined in on the party. And to hit a three-run homer to take the lead in that situation is special and as crazy as you could possibly imagine.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Davante Adams is someone that left Green Bay for a couple of reasons. One, he could get more money with the Raiders, and two, he's being reunited with Derek Carr. That's no longer the situation. He's no longer reunited with Derek Carr.
Oh.
He's
unhappy?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right. He's unhappy. Okay. So where does he go? Now, everybody's throwing out a couple of teams. Obviously, the Jets are at the top of the list, and we have talked about for months. So how does that happen? Can it happen? And I think every one of the answers to these questions is yes. If the Jets want to make it work and Davante Adams wants to make it work, they will make it work, cap-wise and everything else, and compensation-wise.
Yeah, I don't see Davante Adams wanting to go to Buffalo, Pittsburgh.
Why not Buffalo?
Just because it's Buffalo, I think he wants to reunite. But it's not, I think, I know. I think he wants to reunite with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they've been talking. They've been texting. They've been, you know, whatever. They're friends. They're great friends. You know, he went to the Raiders initially and left Aaron Rodgers to play with his best friend, Derek Carr, who ended up leaving after the Raiders basically benched him. I knew this in the summertime. I knew all of this crap was going on behind the scenes. You know, the other thing, too, is Devontae was playing the game. He was never going to come out publicly and say anything. But now that he comes out publicly and says something, he takes the Raiders politically off the hook with their fans. Now, all of a sudden, he's unhappy and he wants to be traded. And then there was the whole business decision comments about, you know, who was playing, who wasn't playing the week before, who's missing practice, who's missing preseason practices. And these wide receivers, and Devontae is very smart. You know, he wasn't going to go out there and complain publicly, because that's going to be a bad image thing for him. And he was just going to percolate behind the scenes. And this was all going to come to a head before too long. And now, you know, of course, the agents, Kenny Chapman and Frank Bauer, at one point in time said, oh, this is unfounded, it's baseless, all of this crap doesn't mean anything. Oh, here we are now, 6 weeks later. Now, all of a sudden, it is baseless and it is founded. And, you know, and like I told you back in August, and I'll tell you again, this has to do with the contract structure that he has with the Raiders. The Raiders can get out from underneath the contract that will pay him $36.25 million next year and $36.25 million in year 2026. The Raiders, that's not happening for the Raiders.
Yeah, because they've got a roster that flat out stinks, and having an overpaid wide receiver on a team that can't get him the ball is useless.
Right. So, and the fact is, again, football teams will never admit this, but let's face it. The Raiders are in the market for a young quarterback. There's about five of them coming out in the 2025 draft.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to want a top five pick, and they're going to want to take either Shador Sanders, Milrose kid from Alabama, Carson Beck from Georgia, Quinn Ewers from Texas. They're going to do their due diligence on all these guys. And Tom Telesco, their new GM, who had been in San Diego all those years, is going to have to basically cut bait and probably get a second-round draft choice.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I were the Jets, I would do it today. And I wouldn't be surprised if Devontae's here next week.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that would be...
The Jets are leaving to go to London. He's
right.
Not playing now. So.
Right, certainly not. And another part of this, too, and our buddy Vinny Accardi, who does some work for your foundation, actually was the guy who sent this to me on X. But Brian Baldinger, who is very, very good at breaking down stuff.
Yeah, love Brian.
Film.
Yep.
So he's showing in his latest Baldy breakdown from the Jets passing game a couple of instances where the wide receivers are not where they're supposed to be. And Aaron Rodgers is pissed off about it. And one of which is a really bad one on a third down where Garrett Wilson is just, he's supposed to stop. He's supposed to curl in. The ball is right there for him. And he just keeps running. And what it looks like is it looks like Aaron Rodgers underthrew him and the ball's skipping on the turf when actually that ball should be in the hands of Garrett Wilson. He didn't run the route that Aaron was expecting him to run.
All right, so, you know, awareness on the field.
Yeah.
You know, and these guys have played now four games. Again, like I say all the time, you can practice all you want. You can go through all the meetings. You can go through all the walkthroughs. You can do all your special counts at the line of scrimmage.
You can spend all day at the driving range.
You cannot recreate what goes on in a game.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get on the same page when you haven't played a lot of football together under those circumstances, especially when it's bad weather and you're playing against a good defense from Denver and it looks ugly. Everybody's frustrated. Everybody feels pissed off, and I will tell you this right now. Also, knowing what I know about players and teammates and things of that nature, there's no hiding that Aaron Rodgers and, you know, Devontae Adams are friends and have been, you know, in contact with each other. I guarantee it. You know, what does that do to the Alan Lazards of the world, the Mike Williams of the world, the Garrett Wilsons of the world? What? How does that make them feel?
Yeah,
that's why you have to be really careful about these things.
And you know what? This is an interesting answer because on one end, it's I'm sorry, but we got to get better, and this guy's better, and he's worked with Aaron before, and you've got had opportunities here, and if things were going great in the passing game, he didn't score 9 points against the Broncos, maybe we wouldn't be having this discussion. But there's the other side of it, of you got to have a harmonious locker room to be able to win. That's a part of it, and today's athlete is one that is more sensitive than in years past. So it's a tough one, but if you can get Davante Adams, you get Davante Adams.
I will say this, and I don't want to speak for Garrett Wilson at all, but again, it's just my senses of being in locker rooms and being around people, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They bring in Davante Adams, that means less opportunities for Garrett Wilson. That doesn't open the field, but it is less opportunities. And Garrett Wilson's going to want a big contract because in his mind, he feels like he's a top five receiver.
Yep,
I mean, that's still yet to be seen, but he thinks that he's a top five receiver. And quite frankly, he and Breece Hall do have an inflated view of themselves, especially after the way that they played this year.
Can't blame Zach Wilson anymore.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that happened on Friday night that I was just absolutely shocked, I didn't even find out until Saturday morning, was that the Knicks trade for Karl-Anthony Towns, of course sending Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And it was shocking to me, absolutely shocking. I really believe that they were with Julius Randle, the Knicks, for the long haul. They love the guy. He had just opened that charter school in New York. They always had his back through his ups and downs. And I really thought that if they were going to go forward, it was always going to be with Julius Randle. Now, things changed after the Mikal Bridges trade. It was the Villanova Knicks. Jalen Brunson came here, became the number one guy. And maybe they felt like that was not going to work going into this season with Julius Randle. And then you had the Dante DiVincenzo stories about how maybe his role was going to be cut into a little bit this year, and he was not happy about that. So you got those two things happening at once, and Karl-Anthony Towns being available and the Kentucky connections of the Knicks. It's something that we have talked about for a long time. So you could see how the deal happened. Now, I respect Julius Randle and what he did. He was the first piece to really turn this thing around with Tibbs. But I never thought they were winning with him. So that was one piece of it where I was like, okay, you know, they've moved on from Julius Randle. They feel more like a championship team without him. I hate losing Dante DiVincenzo. He felt just like with Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson. I felt like he was right there with the heartbeat of the team. And the knock on Karl-Anthony Towns is that as talented as he is, he's a soft player that opponents don't respect. So I don't love that about it. But I was talking myself into it as the weekend was going on. You know, the Minnesota Timberwolves had a massive year last year, and Karl Anthony Towns was in the middle of it. I think maybe this reputation thing about him being soft was, you know, earlier on in his career, and he's sort of grown past that, maybe. And he's coming to a culture and a city that's not going to tolerate him being a wuss. So he's going to have to shape up and get with the program, as our friends down in Jersey say, Fiofo.
Yeah.
Fit in or yes. F off.
Yes.
So you're gonna have to do that if you're Karl Anthony Towns. And then you look at the roster and the starting five. That's as talented a starting five as there is in the NBA.
Small, though. Very small roster in terms of size. They lose a little bit of that. They lose, you know, who their identity was last year with DiVincenzo. And, you know, Julius Randle got hurt again last year and missed, obviously, all of the playoffs in the last part of the season. So, look, Karl Anthony Towns has been rumored to be traded to the Knicks over the last 2 years.
Yep.
So this wasn't all that surprising to me, especially with the finances of the Minnesota Timberwolves and what's going on there. They got a big contract with Anthony Edwards. They got a big contract with Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
You know, Julius Randle fits in there with a one-year deal at around $25 million. They save a little bit of money. They're still fighting over whether or not Alex Rodriguez is going to be able to buy into this team. So there's a lot of other things going on in Minnesota. As far as the Knicks are concerned, you know, I hated losing Dante DiVincenzo as well, but you actually traded him when you could get the most for him, you know, and I wish him nothing but the best. And I also think that his time here with the Knicks probably on the court would have been impacted by both McBride and Kolek, the new kid that they got.
Yeah, Tyler Kolek, who they drafted, yes.
Exactly. So, and I think that they have something in him, even though he's a young kid and he's got to grow and he's got to mature into the NBA, and he may be spotty this year at some point in time. But this is about a big man who can shoot threes, who is going to give you probably 10 double-double every night if he's healthy. I understand the whole aspect about him being soft, but you got to realize who's in the Eastern Conference. Look at the other big guys that are in the Eastern Conference that have dominated this conference.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why the Knicks had to make this trade. And by the way, they are not making this trade without the blessing of one Tom Thibodeau. They go to him and they say, look, we can get Karl Anthony Towns. We know that you coached him. We know that there were issues. They've supposedly buried the issues years ago. Both of them had said so years ago.
Yeah.
This wasn't something that just happened recently. This was supposedly put to bed years ago because you had an older coach that was trying to get a younger player to do certain things that he was uncomfortable with. It. But I'll tell you one thing. If Karl Anthony Towns is coming here, you're right. Fiofo is true. He's got to fit in. And I think because of the way this thing is set up and everything that I have read over the weekend from all the people that cover the NBA far more closely than I do, that this is a just a natural fit on the basketball court with the way that the Knicks are going to play now.
Yes, and that is exactly the piece that is either going to swing them towards closer to a championship or farther away, and they took a risk on it. And I do believe it's going to work out. And I do believe that he is going to come here. And he doesn't, like, Jalen Brunson is the face of this team. There's a bunch of other guys that he doesn't have to be the number one guy here. And I think that is as talented as he is, as good as he is, and he's a superstar in this world of the Knicks and what they've built.
Yeah.
He's not going to be the face of the franchise, and that I think really helps it.
Yeah, the other thing you have to remember too, now when he finally does come back, if he ever does come back, if they don't trade him, is Mitchell Robinson. This was probably made because of Mitchell Robinson's propensity for injury himself.
Well, I think yes, there's two things,
and they weren't going to go with Jericho Sims as their starting center.
Yeah, so there are two things that happened that also were catalysts for this trade. One, their inability, because of the stupid NBA rules, to sign Isaiah Hartenstein. They couldn't do it. Can't blame Hartenstein for going to Oklahoma City. He's gone. And then the timeline on Mitchell Robinson's injury and just the fact that you can never trust him to be healthy. So those are two things that I also think played into this. And, you know, maybe Julius Randle maybe took the Knicks as far as he could take the Knicks, and now that's it.
He it would have been interesting to see, had he stayed healthy last year, what he could have done last year.
Yeah, I know.
And it didn't happen for them. But, you know, you're missing Hartenstein, DiVincenzo, and Julius Randle were all three really popular players. And those three players are no longer here. And last year was special. It was special watching the way the team played, the grittiness in which they played. And then the fact that they swung the trade for Mikal Bridges, to me, means that they knew that they needed to upgrade. They needed to do something to make this team even better. Now, the question is how long is it going to take Karl-Anthony Towns to kind of mix in with everybody? Because the other guys, with the exception of Bridges, but he knows the Villanova guys. You know, and we forget about how good OG Anunoby was when he first got here.
Oh, yeah. I'm not forgetting that at all.
I mean, this should be, I mean, honestly, this should be a top three team in the Eastern Conference.
If you are someone who is afraid of the Astros or maybe afraid of the Orioles because the Orioles could play you tough, even though they've been brutal for a long time and, you know, really did not look like a good baseball team for several months, you could make the case that, just like C-Mac did, that the Yankees have an easier path than they have had in the past. Now, I say make a case, but you really, it is the truth. Because the Houston Astros have been a dynasty. They have been in every ALCS, I believe, since 2017. They are not in this one. The Yankees have been beaten by the Astros many times. So if you look at the Tigers, the Royals, and the Guardians, the Yankees will be favored heavily in every one of those series.
Yeah, I don't think the combined salaries of those teams add up to the Yankees' combined salary.
Well, in driving home yesterday, I think you're right about that. In driving home yesterday, just to that point, I heard Evan read that the players that are on the roster, the active roster for the Tigers right now, because they do have a couple high-paid guys that are hurt and not on the roster, but the active players on the roster, what do you think the total salary is of the active players on the Detroit Tigers roster right now?
I would guess somewhere around $20
million.
$18 million.
$18 million.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
for the underdog.
Yeah, and then, you know, obviously the Yankees have multiple $30 million a year players, $40 million a year players. So, yeah. So you should, in theory, as the favorites, take care of business here.
Right, so is it worse? Let me ask you a question. I think, you know, playoff pressure is a privilege, and you take every game seriously.
Put that in your book, Kim and Westchester.
Right. You don't take anything lightly,
yeah.
No matter who you're playing, especially when a team like the Tigers is all of a sudden getting hot with young players. And it's kind of exciting, I'm sure, for them, for their fan base and everything else. I'm just asking you, as a New York sports talk host.
Yeah.
Would you say that the Yankees are under more pressure now because of the three teams left, or would they be under more pressure if the Astros were still a part of this?
I think that the Astros being out of it and the Yankees being heavily favored adds more pressure to this team.
It's like, where is the expectation?
I mean, you cannot.
Does the Yankee fan have the expectation that I have had for the last 3 months?
Well, now they do. I mean,
it's taken them this long to get to that point.
Well, I mean, because they look at the path now and go, well, hell, we better win this. We better be there.
Look, I've said, you know, what, for 3 months that they're going to the World Series. So yeah. I don't, you know.
But it did break.
But now you feel like
there's more pressure.
There's
yeah.
more pressure because of the teams that are left.
100%. Yeah. I mean, don't you?
I know what it is, and I know who the Yankees are, and I have not wavered one bit about this.
You said something in the open I want to go back to about the Jets and Rob Saleh, and it sounded like to me that you believe that if the Jets go to London and then get beat badly, or just get beat by Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings, that the hot seat would warm up so much for somebody that they may have to make an in-season change somewhere. That's what it sounded like to me. So I wanted to go back because we ran out of time with the break to discuss that again. Did I read that correctly from you?
Yes, 100%. You know, the most important relationship of a football team is the head coach and the quarterback. They got to be on the same page. They got to be supporting each other. And, you know, they're going to hear me say this, or somebody's going to hear me say this and get it to them. And then they're going to have to discuss their relationship, and they're going to be talking about how everything's great and fine. I'm like, you watch this stuff on the sideline, you're like, not even close. I mean, that doesn't look like they spend a lot of time together. I thought Rob was overseeing the offense because they couldn't get somebody in here to oversee Hackett.
That's what he said. Yeah.
I mean, all this goes back to this, all this stuff in the offseason, and it builds and it builds and it builds. Now, when you win and everything's fine, then you don't get into these situations. I mean, and whether you say the pushing away of each other, you know, on the field the other night when they did beat the Patriots and all this other stuff, I mean, I don't know what to take out of that. All I know is when I don't see these guys talking at all. I don't see them having a discussion. I don't know what they're saying to each other. I know that I get the sense that Aaron's annoyed at his head coach, not only because of what he had to answer yesterday, but also because of what he had to deal with in the offseason when it came to going to Egypt during the mini camp, and it's an unexcused absence, when in fact the Jets knew all along he was going to Egypt, and all they had to say is that, yeah, you know, we got a Hall of Fame quarterback, he's good, he's been here, he's rehabbed, he wants to come back, he wants to play, and, you know, we gave him the few days off to go and do what he wanted to do. We're good with that.
Yeah, and
made him look bad, and I don't know if Aaron carries grudges or not. I don't really care about that. All I care about is performance and whether or not they're going to win.
Yeah, I think he does, and I don't think that is an assumption. I think that's sort of a fact. If you just look back at his history and certain people and whatever else, and that's the type of guy he is, and that's fine. I just find it hard to believe that you would fire a guy mid-season.
It all depends. It all depends on how these next few games go. And
what would happen? Nate Hackett would be the head coach?
And maybe Jeff Albrecht.
Yeah.
It's...
You got to remember, too, that this is not just, you know, you got a 4-0 team, a 3-1 team, and another 3-1 team that you're playing in the next 3 weeks. So that's what makes this loss even more annoying.
They're going to have to get a win back from somebody. I don't think the Bills' defense is all that great. I really don't. I think it's an average or below average defense. I think they have a really
below average.
I think they got a good defensive line. I think they do. You know, they can get pressure on opposing teams. But you saw them get steamrolled last night.
They got killed.
I mean, like, when you're up in Buffalo and Josh Allen takes over a game, you know, it's a little bit different than when you're on the road and the other team can run on you. Like, Baltimore can run on everybody because you got to deal with Lamar and you got to deal with Derrick Henry and you got to deal with that speed that team has. And, you know, even with their offensive line a little bit young and inexperienced, all of a sudden now they got one of the best running games in football and they're a pain in the ass to deal with. So they're to me right now, like I said, the best team in football. Even better than, you know, all the undefeated teams, just because they lost two games and they were tight games. They were games that I believe they should have won. But I think there is a pressure cooker here over in Florham Park, and I'm sure that a lot of people over there feel it. And if they don't win and they continue to lose and they lose games like this and comments come out like they were yesterday, I just think that something will have to be done if they want to save the season.
Yeah, I mean, they should have been 3-1. I mean, even after how horrible the game went, kick the field goal, you win. You don't have to worry about any of this, at least for a little bit. You go to London feeling bad. I don't know if going to London is a good thing or a bad thing after a loss like that. I really don't know. Getting out of here might be a good thing, but at the same time, when things feel weird, a trip like that might not be the best thing either. I really don't know how it's going to work out, but that's the schedule. And if Aaron Rodgers truly does not respect his head coach, that's not going to change.
And I know how that feels, man. I know exactly how it feels, because the head coach doesn't respect you either.
Oof.
It's a two-way go.
Yeah.
And if, in fact, it goes south, if they win, like they come back from all, then they beat Minnesota, and then they go on the road and they beat Buffalo, then totally different story. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure, of course.
Is it on the road at Buffalo? Is that their game after? It's a Monday night game.
They do play Buffalo That is a home game.
Oh, it is a home game. It's home. Yeah, all right, Monday night against, you know, Josh. If you come home, couple scenarios here.
Scenarios.
You lose the game in London, and Sam Darnold has a big game against you, and then you come home and you lose to Josh Allen on Monday Night Football. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be very ugly. How ugly? Head coach fired ugly? I don't know. That's extreme, but it'll be ugly.
I wouldn't say that if Rob were here for 4 years. I mean, not for a year. He's here for 4 years.
Yep. Yep.
Friday football picks are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook and the official sportsbook of WFAN. It's been all Mets all morning long, but we got to get our picks in for week five. I actually had a winning week last week, so 3-2. I am in first place still with a 10-10 record. Boomer 2-3 last week, 7-13 on the year, 3 games back. Of me, Jerry, 2-3 last week, 6-14 on the year, 4 games back. But as you know, the NFL is a tricky league to predict. Always has been. These games we pick are not easy. We're forced to pick the Giants and the Jets because we made a decision there, so it's damn near impossible to have these good weeks. So anybody could come back at any time, and it could start now with these 5 games.
And I will tell you that I plan to win the next 10 to jump over 500. Yeah, sure. Okay. All right, here we go. Game 1 of 5. This is a good one. You got the 3-1 Bills at 3-1 Houston, Steph Diggs. You got Josh Allen and the Texans at home getting 1.5.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna take the home dog here and the Houston Texans. The reason I'm going to do that is I'm not sold on the Bills defense. They just lost Von Miller for 4 weeks due to a suspension. You know, C.J. Stroud had a bounce-back game last week. I think the Houston Texans are a more of a formidable total team than the Bills are, and I think the Bills got rocked last week by Baltimore's running game, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see that again here.
Yeah, I don't think that the running games are comparable between the Texans and the Baltimore Ravens, and I think because they got smacked around, Josh Allen's going to come out with a vengeance. I think he's going to have an unbelievable game. If Sam Darnold can throw for 4 touchdowns, he's playing great, but still, if he could throw for 4 touchdowns against the Texans, Josh Allen might throw for 8. He's the best player on the field in this game. I think the Bills bounce back. I think the Bills win. Give me Buffalo in this one.
Well, we're two losers, so I'm going to go with you.
I'm taking Houston as well. I think they win on Sunday, plus the 1.5.
Game number 2, the Ravens, who Boomer on Wednesday declared might be the best team in the NFL at 2-2. At 1-3 Cincinnati, the Bengals getting 2.5 points.
Lamar Jackson, 8-1 versus the Bengals in his career. He's going to be 9-1 after this week. Not sold on the Bengal defense. And one of the reasons why I think Baltimore is the best team overall in the NFL right now is because of the way that they're running the ball with Derrick Henry. He's averaging 120 yards a game. He looks like he's 25 years old again. And Lamar Jackson creates all sorts of problems on the field with the way that he's playing. They're relatively healthy now. Their offensive line is good. I don't like Cincinnati's defense. I think it's going to be Baltimore in this game.
Yeah, I would love to pick the Bengals in this situation. I'd love to believe in them. I've been a supporter of Joe Burrow and that team for a while, but I can't. Watching the way that Baltimore has bullied their last couple of opponents, which I think are good teams or at least decent teams, I don't know how you don't ride with them right now. Something would have to happen. They'd have to have just a complete lay-an-egg game, or someone's going to get hurt for them to lose this on their rolling at this point in the season. So I would like it to be close. Hopefully it's a really good game, but the Baltimore Ravens feel like at this stage of the season that they are close to unstoppable with that running attack.
Yeah, I would like to take the Bengals too, but I will not. I will take the Ravens minus the 2.5 on the road. Game number 3, Steelers and Cowboys in Pittsburgh on Sunday. Pittsburgh minus 1.5.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm taking Pittsburgh at home here, the home dog. I'm taking them simply because of their defense, even though they got shredded last week by Joe Flacco, of all people, when he went in to replace Anthony Richardson for the Colts. I think Pittsburgh is tough at home. I think they run the ball effectively. I would think this is going to be a tight game. It's probably going to come down to a field goal, maybe late. and it should be low scoring just because that's the way Pittsburgh plays. I will take Pittsburgh over the Dallas Cowboys.
And the Steelers' offense is really, really difficult to watch and digest. I mean, and the Cowboys have had issues stopping the run. I mean, the only really weapon that the Steelers have running the football at this point is Justin Fields. I like the Cowboys in this game. I think the Steelers, even though they got off to a great start with that defense, are just not that good of a team. And Dallas is every week fighting for their lives, and the coach has got his fat butt on the hot seat every week. So give me the Dallas Cowboys.
And just to clarify, in case you misheard me or misspoke, the Steelers -1.5, not +1.5. Not that I think that's going to change your mind. I will take the Cowboys. I expect them to win by 3.
Why did you say minus one? Why didn't you say
that? I said the Steelers -1.5. That's what I said.
You had it on the list.
Sure.
You have it written down the same way.
Even though Jerry took the same list that I had and is using it.
Okay.
But you have the same
thing. My mistake.
No, go with yourself.
I apologize.
I said the Steelers -1.5.
All right. I'm sorry. I screwed up.
Yeah.
My bad.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
I got the Cowboys. Game now, and now we do the locals. Sunday morning, 9:30. You've got the Jets and Vikings in London. The Vikings -2.5. The Vikings -2.5.
I'm taking the Vikings. Second best balanced team in the NFL behind the Ravens. Really the big question for the Vikings moving forward the rest of the season is, can Sam Darnold continue to play the way that Sam Darnold has played the first 4 weeks? I don't see why he couldn't do it here. And plus, you're talking about one of the teams that leads the league in sacks when it comes to the Minnesota Vikings. Their defense is starting to get noticed more and more and more, especially when it comes to Brian Flores, so I will take the Vikings.
This, if we didn't pick the Jets every week, meaning the game that the Jets play every week, I would stay away from this game totally because I am so torn. The coaching advantage is humongous with the Minnesota
Vikings.
Vikings
clothing on today.
It's humongous advantage coaching wise for the Vikings. But I just feel like with all this is where Aaron Rodgers rallies this team and they come out and play above their heads. That's what it feels like. With the Vikings being 4-0, they do, especially in the second half where Jordan Love was going.
Take them to the playoffs.
So now they're all on the same page.
You had your chance.
Sam McDonald.
So it's tough for me, but I'm going to pick the Jets. I think the Jets cover and maybe win. So
I agree.
Yeah,
I'm taking the Jets as well. I think they figure it out after Sunday and a terrible performance against the Broncos. And the final game at 4:00 Sunday, the Giants in Seattle.
He did not know what to do with that game.
I know I didn't.
Because he doesn't want to pick the Jets, and I don't blame him.
I really don't, but I can't see that. I don't know. The Vikings have been so good. Plus, if you watch that second half against the Packers, they turned the ball over a ton. Their defense looked terrible. They gave up a ton of points.
You already had your time.
Touché.
Seahawks on Sunday, -6.5. I will take Seattle.
Me too. He's got to go.
Jerry's got to go.
I mean, I don't know if Malik Nabers is not playing. If he's not playing, then why? I mean,
I don't want
to. Kenneth Walker's playing. DK Metcalf's playing. Geno Smith is throwing for more yards than any other quarterback in the NFL coming into week 4.
You know, the Giants are like that thing, like you get a menu and you know immediately you don't want something. That's what I feel about the Giants.
You go to a bad restaurant, you're like, you don't want that.
A vongole? Like, I'm not eating that.
Vongole?
What is that? It's clams or something? I don't want that. Yeah, give me the Seahawks.
Okay. You still want to talk about the Jets and the Vikings?
No. Not anymore. I'll just watch it tomorrow at 9 a.m. Boomer and Geo Friday football picks are Sunday, are sponsored by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook and the official sportsbook of WFAN. Nancy in Mineola, what's going on, Nancy?
Hi, Geo. Hi, Boomer.
Hey, Nancy. What's happening?
You're the best. Listen, I want to say two or three things to you. Boomer was talking about his friend that is big with Notre Dame and Holy Cross and
Boston College. Captain Catholic.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm going to tell you something, guys. Last night I sat here with the rosary. Okay, you talk about the Hail Mary pass in football. I sat here with the rosary and did a decade of the rosary, the Hail Marys, and Alonso is the one that is keeping the revenue at Citi Field on Tuesday and Wednesday. Without that one home run, Cohen wouldn't be making any money Tuesday and Wednesday night.
Yeah.
That's thanks to Alonso's bat.
Yeah, Nancy, does God hate the Brewers?
Great. The team is wonderful, but Alonso is the one that's keeping the revenue at Citi Field on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Because the revenue is still coming in because of Alonso.
Nancy, how do you think God feels about the Milwaukee Brewers? Hates them?
Do I hate them?
No, does God hate the Milwaukee Brewers?
Oh, no. Okay. It's just that if you look at all the ball players, a lot of them make the sign of the cross and look up to the sky. And the Hail Mary is the pass in football. It's also the Hail Marys that work in baseball.
Okay. All right, Nancy, listen. You do what you got to do watching the games.
You know, whatever it takes.
whatever it takes is right.
God likes all.
But not the Brewers last night.
They must have sinned.
Yeah, big time.
No way.
They must have.
No. Clearly.
Clearly, yeah.
No.
I think, what do you think the Holy Ghost thinks about Milwaukee? We got any idea?
Well, I'm not sure which of the 200 plus branches of Christianity in the country adhere to the Holy Ghost situation.
Yeah.
I went and found this Garrett Wilson thing with Bart Scott yesterday on ESPN Radio. So I'm going to play you the question now.
Yeah, it's very important to play the question.
Important to know that there's 34 seconds of a question that precedes this.
This is a CeeLo question?
This question is probably almost a minute long.
So, yeah, right. So there.
Oh, so it's the CeeLo question.
I didn't put, because his answer's really long.
No, I know.
Or could have been a question like from one of the moderators last night in the vice presidential debate,
I suppose. Well, also, and Garrett Wilson put himself out, posted himself that he goes, I didn't just comment that. This was my answer to a long, drawn-out question.
He was.
So, yeah.
Now, the question I give you is still 17 seconds. There was another 34 on top of it. So, here you go.
Are you guys struggling with your identity and trying to find it? Because it feels like you guys try a lot of different stuff. You guys have a lot of good players, but sometimes when you have a lot of good players, it makes things discombobulated.
I don't think we do a lot of different stuff, you know, to be honest. You know, when I watch football on Sundays, I see a lot of teams run, mix it up and stuff like that. I don't feel like we do that. So I think we know our identity is just about going out and executing it, or figuring out whether or not it's going to work. I truly think that we are not trying. I don't think we're trying a lot of different things. I know personally, I haven't. You know, my route tree hasn't been what it's been on the last 2 years as far as the stuff I've been running and stuff. So, it's just about figuring out whether or not it's the right identity and if it's going to win games this year. You know, if it's going to do what we need it to do, give the defense the run support they need to be the best defense in the league.
All right. Yeah, well, you know, he's questioning the offensive coordinator 100%. 100%.
Yeah, see, I disagree with that.
What I hear is we don't do a lot of stuff. We do our stuff, but we don't do a lot of stuff. I watch a lot of football on Sunday. I don't see us doing that.
Yeah, and I can see how you hear it that way. The way I hear it is that Bart Scott saying that, are you struggling to find your identity because your guys are doing a lot of different things? And he's saying, no, we're not doing a lot of different things. We have an identity.
We just have to execute better.
Just remember, this is also a team that was trying to hire somebody that was going to be the Artie party is who it was going to be, to sit on top of Nathaniel Hackett to become a little bit more Arthur Smith is who it is. It sounds like he's frustrated with the offense. Look, they had two good games where I thought they got better, and then they took a major step back this game, and the frustration on the field, ball dingers, breakdowns, all the different things that come out of this game against the Broncos. And then this comment here lead me to believe that, you know, it's like, what are we doing? How come all these other guys are running wide open? What are all these other teams doing offensively that we're not doing? And it sounds to me like he is questioning as to whether or not the offense is is creative enough to get people open and to get him more involved.
Well, I mean, he also says in the answer, I think we have the right identity.
Mm-hmm.
Says that in the answer.
But he also says that he watched football on Sundays and we
right,
don't do
in response to in response to Bart Scott saying, I see you guys doing a lot of different things, and he's saying we're not doing a lot of different things. We already have our identity. You know, so, and I see other teams doing a lot of other different things, but this is what we're doing. We just got to execute it, and we have the identity. So, no. I don't know, but Garrett Wilson, he wouldn't have put out that video himself if what he was trying to say was interpreted the right way by Rich Cimini. He said, because he saw all that stuff in text, it looks terrible in text, and he's like, no, I didn't just say that. You need to have the context of the question here. If he wanted to put out there that he was pissed off by the offense and Nathaniel Hackett's a boob and whatever else, he could have very easily just let that stuff sit there. He didn't.
Well, I mean, like what I hear in that answer, he's questioning the offense and the creativity. That's what I hear in that answer.
Okay. Well, we disagree on
maybe,
it.
Maybe he's not mean-spirited about it. Maybe he's not really pointing it at anybody, but that I hear a frustrated, hey, I watch a lot of football on Sunday. We don't do a lot of stuff. I'm running a different route tree.
That, he said he wasn't running a different route tree.
No,
he said he was running the same route tree as he did the last couple of years.
He said he was running a different route tree from the
last couple
of years.
I thought at the end he was like, I've been doing this. It's been the same route tree. I could have sworn.
You know, I truly think that we are not trying. I don't think we're trying a lot of different things. I know personally, I haven't, you know, my route tree hasn't been what it's been on the last 2 years. As far as
my route tree hasn't been what it has been on the last 2 years. Yeah, but that's what I'm telling you. Does that change your mind?
No.
See, I hear both, honestly.
I hear a frustrated wide receiver. That's what I hear. And I hear, like, you know, and then when you go back to all these breakdowns and everything, because I saw all those, and you see the frustration on, you know, the body language, I guess, which we're not allowed to discuss for whatever reason. But yeah, the body language tells me we're frustrated.
The Phil Sim Spotlight is brought to you by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Oh my gosh. Visit balanceofnature.com. So the two best friends are going to be in a booth together on October 20th when we were supposed to be eating Phil Sims meat and drinking Phil Sims alcohol at Phil Sims' house. And we're not doing that anymore. It's going to be Jerry, Boomer, and Phil in a booth together calling Giants Eagles, which is very exciting news. Phil, good morning. How are you?
Gio, I'm doing okay. My phone systems are down, so I'm on my cell phone, so I hope it works out. And listening to you, I just thought I heard a hint of sarcasm when you said, oh, my favorite spot coming up. Yeah. Okay, I'm really excited to talk to you, too.
No, it actually is. I really do enjoy. There was no sarcasm there. There really isn't. I get excited for this every week, and every week there seems to be something new and fun to talk about. And this week it's the two of you guys being reunited in a Compass Media Networks booth on the same day that we were supposed to be enjoying watching football at your home. So I'm a little bit disappointed, quite frankly, that we're not going to be at your house and you guys are going to be calling the game. But whatever, I'll get over it.
Well, you know, a couple of things. I'm disappointed, too. I could have made it work and was going to, but this came up, and then Boomer stuck his big, fat face. Now he's going to be in the booth with me. I was going to enjoy the game, maybe with Jerry and the Boomer. You know, okay, it'll be fun. We'll do it. And, Gio, if you're on the sidelines, that will be the best.
Yeah, I really would be. And I do actually have 2 full years of football. It's college football, but it was ACC. It was University of Pittsburgh. Sideline experience on the radio, working with a legend in Bill Hillgrove who called Steelers games for about 30 years. So I wouldn't go out. I'd take this thing seriously. I would do the job.
Oh, 100%. Right. We're all going to take it seriously. I'm just letting you know right now, I need my space in that booth.
Well, Boomer, trust me, nobody really wants to sit close to you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, we understand why.
As long as we understand each other.
We understand each other. And don't be talking about, oh, Phil's going to be, you know, all Giants, Giants, Giants. No, I'm not. I did the Giants-Cowboy game, and I didn't get one complaint about me favoring the Giants.
Maybe nobody listened.
Oh, finally, Boomer comes with a remarked back. That's the first time ever.
Okay. All right, handsome. I'm glad you're in a good mood this morning once again.
And before we get into the football here.
Don't be so damn shocked when I'm in a good mood.
Well, it doesn't happen very often.
It's that damn balance of nature.
In a good mood.
It makes him happy.
Makes him happy is right.
It doesn't hurt. Let me tell you. Listen, Gio, you could get on it. You know what I like?
I'm waiting. Last week you told me you were sending me some. I still don't have it. So that's maybe why I'm in a curmudgeonly mood.
All right. Well, tell Al to text me your address and I'll send you some.
Perfect. Absolutely. I will do that. Now,
he loves him some onions.
So, yeah, onions. if you listen to the show, you paid attention. Boomer calls me the king of scuttlebutt because information just comes to me around the radio station and what people are doing. And I don't know why. I don't even ask for the information, but the information comes to me. And it actually extended out of this building into MetLife Stadium, where I got scuttlebutt that you were taking pictures of yourself on the wall at the facility. So if there was a picture of you up at the facility playing quarterback at a game, you were taking pictures of that picture.
No, it's just not true. Whoever told you that's a big fat liar. So, there we go.
Got a trusted source. Hold on.
There were pictures of White, Tittle, Charlie Connolly, all these people. So I said, let me take some of those, whatever. And I was going to put them out. I don't think I ever did. You know, it was a good thought, but I didn't follow through with it. And my daughter was at the game. And, of course, my daughter, Deirdre, she's a wonderful daughter. Love her to death. He went around the damn stadium and took pictures of everybody wearing my jersey. I was like, Kishra.
That's great, though. That's cool.
It was great. But did you watch any of the game? Because you got like 100 of these pictures. And, you know, but oh, well. But no, I don't take pictures of myself.
Okay.
My God, Boomer. Right.
Yeah, that sounds like something I would do. I'm sure. Exactly. 100%. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yes, 100% it would be. All right, so let's just get into this now. So
let's do it.
Your Giants have got to go out to Seattle. Got to play Geno Smith, who's thrown for more yards than any quarterback in the league. He's averaging almost 300 yards passing per game. DK Metcalf, three straight games over 100 yards receiving. This is going to be a real test for this Giant defense. And I'm just wondering if you think that they can somehow corral the explosiveness of the Seahawks.
That is the big, big question. You said it. I mean, you look at their Geno Smith, first off, he's a gunslinger. That's the way to say it. He is not afraid to throw it down the field, throw it into tight spots. He can stay in the pocket, Boomer, and he can take hits. Geno's played really well ever since he's been out there in Seattle. But I was thinking of this yesterday. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Jackson Smith and Jigma. Oh, and I got Kenneth Walker running the football. And Carbonate, the other running back, is, you know, really good too. So, man, Seattle, it'll be a tough task for the Giant defense. And I don't know what they're going to do about covering DK Metcalf because he's like a Calvin Johnson. He's big. He can run you over. He can run by you. And just watching him play looks like he is really so into it now more than ever. And that'll be a tough task for the Giants.
And the one thing I will say about Seattle, they have seen the 3-1 and the first real team with a real quarterback and a real offense that they have played against were the Lions this past weekend, Monday night. And the Lions just torched them offensively. And as we know, Jared Goff was 18 of 18. Best game ever in terms of not missing a pass for a game over 15 attempts. And he was on point, and it looked like their defense really had a hell of a time staying with him. So the real question now on the other side of the ball is, can Seattle's defense be somewhat susceptible to passing down the field? And Malik Nabers leads the league in 35 catches. He's a Giant wide receiver. Wandell Robinson's fifth on that list. Can the Giants keep up offensively with the Seattle Seahawks?
Well, that's a lot there. I'll say that. You know, Seattle, when you throw against them, I would think this, you know, and I watch teams do it. You know, if you block it up, in other words, you keep extra guys to block and you can get it down the field, you can have some success. You know, the Giants on offense, The run that I've seen the Giants love the most is an inside run. I'm not going to get technical here, but Detroit, and I know they have a really good offensive line, they wore, you know, the Seattle defense out with those type of runs. So that gives me some hope about the Giants run game. And then, you know, Seattle, it is like they're one of those defenses, the hair's on fire, they run around everywhere. And so, you know, screens, you know, boot passes where the quarterback fakes and goes the other way, things like that really give them trouble. And I would expect the Giants to do all this against that. And then, of course, the other thing, Boomer, I don't know if you ever played out there. You, of course, you played in Seattle, probably in the Kingdom, right?
In the Kingdom, yeah, not outside, yeah.
Well, they're both ridiculously loud, and I had terrible success in the Kingdom. And, of course, now the Giants got to deal with crowd noise, too. But let me kind of, I'll go back to this with the Giants. Last week, you know, I was there doing the game, and when I watched the game again during the week, I went, Daniel Jones didn't play well. He played really well. He moved around, got time, made the throws, some power throws. Did he miss a couple deep ones? Yes. You know, I can see why he did it when I watched it. But overall, his accuracy, power throwing the ball, and buying time. That's what he did. He bought time to get guys open and made a lot of good throws. So I didn't look at that game and go, wow, Daniel Jones has got to play better. I see a lot of other problems, you know, that are probably with the team, and it's not always just the quarterback.
All right, Boomer and Geo with Phil Simms on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It was a brutal game to watch on Sunday between the Jets and the Broncos. I know the weather was a factor, but just rough. Why was the Jets' passing game so poor on Sunday?
Well, I think the first thing is that the Denver defense is, I kind of warned everybody last week talking about it. They're fast, they're aggressive. Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator, there's not a down that he doesn't like to blitz on. So that's the biggest thing. And they got a secondary that can cover. They were all over the Jets. I mean, the Jets had about 30 chances to win the game, that's for sure. But the Denver defense is very fast. The week before, they played Baker Mayfield, who was hot as could be, and they sacked him 7 times. And I think after you watched the game and you saw Denver's defense, that you understand why. And in big moments, they decided they were just going to charge the Jets' offense, sack Aaron Rodgers, make him hurry the throws. And once again, the coverage was really good, and all the false starts that you saw in the game. And somebody says, why do you think they had all those? Because those linemen were putting their hands on the ground going, what the hell's coming next? And you know, it rattled the offensive line, I think, all the pressure, the blitzes and things like that. And it, of course, Denver found a way to win the game, and just with an awful, awful offense display against the Jets.
Yeah, I'll tell you, pre-snap penalties killed the Jets too, and the whole snap count fiasco and all this other stuff. And you and I,
you know, Boomer,
yeah.
What's it going to be like out in Seattle this week?
Well, it's going to be tough for the Giants, but you know, with the Jets playing against Minnesota in London, it's a different story. Yeah. But you know, the story was. Rob Saleh talking about the snap count right after the game and then changing the tune the next day. And we all know that's a part of Aaron's repertoire is his snap count. Don't be messing with that, especially when you're a defensive head coach. Don't tell me, the quarterback who's 40 years old, how the hell to do the snap count. I'll handle that. So you just worry about the defense. That's kind of the vibe I was getting from the Jets earlier in the week. You know, the other thing, too, we talked about this team early on, so I give Gio credit because he said that Sam Darnold was going to have a comeback year. You said you loved the signing of Sam Darnold just because of Kevin O'Connell and how Kevin O'Connell was going to open it up for Sam Darnold once J.J. McCarthy got hurt. Gio says Kevin O'Connell is a coddling type of a coach. Do you agree with Gio's assessment of Kevin as a head coach?
100%. He is that kind of guy. And, you know, he supports the quarterback. Listen, first and foremost, they got a great receiving core. They got speed in the backfield. They got a pass-blocking offensive line. And Sam Darnold is throwing it really well. Same thing I kind of said about Gio is the same. He's aggressive. They throw it down the field. They're fun to watch. And the other thing is, every time I watch them, I go, why are more teams copying kind of what they're doing when they play these games? But, you know, that's a different thing. But yeah, Sam Darnold's doing great. Kevin O'Connell, that's a great way to say it. How do you say that? He's a
coddle guy.
coddle a quarterback. Yeah.
Yeah, he likes to coddle people,
no matter what they do, he comes off the field and Kevin O'Connell's all over him, and, you know, it's always good. He's one of those guys. He's always positive. And Sam Darnold is really playing well. And the big thing about that for the Jets, you've got to deal with that offense, and then you've got to deal with the defense by Minnesota. Brian Flores, he does everything. You know, they give up a lot of plays. You know, the pass game, people are throwing the ball on them. But when it comes down to big moments, they're going to blitz you. And their blitzing is phenomenal. And that's how they're winning games with their defense and, of course, the offense. But that's something in a tough week going over to London and now dealing with that defense and all the blitzes they run. Boomer, they're running blitzes I've never seen. I'm serious. Ever. It's so clever. And I just think, when are they going to run out of ideas on that side? But
wow, you know, a lot I'll tell you, you're 30 years older than Aaron Rodgers, so maybe he's going to see something he's never seen before either.
Well, yeah. I think there is true. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you're right. You guys talk about, everybody does. This is his offense, and so much about it. The snap counts, look, I go to the training camp and their practices. He's always working the snap count. Everybody's used to it. So I would think last week was a little bit of an outlier. And, the receivers, you got to get on. Figure out what's in Aaron Rodgers' head. Back shoulders, throwing it front, whatever. And they still don't have a great feel for that with all the practice, and I know they work on it. And Aaron Rodgers, his biggest thing, he wants to throw it down the sideline, lead you down if you're beating your guy, but he loves throwing back shoulder throws. And, you know, I expected so far this year to see more of them that are completed and not – and it's incomplete. The receiver looks at Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers is looking at them. So, you know, they got to keep working on it because it's a big part of the offense.
Yeah, they're not on the same page. When do you think Devontae Adams is going to be in Florham Park? That'll be next week.
Well, you know, after watching the receiver, whatever they call that, Peyton Manning Productions last year and seeing Devontae Adams part of it, I went, oh, my gosh, he's going to be somewhere else next year. So it's just a matter of time, it looks like, I would think. I heard you talking about it. I think you're right. I think everybody saw this coming. And I was kind of surprised it didn't happen maybe in training camp or before it went this far. But, you know, so we'll see.
Yeah, not everybody saw it coming. Just one of us saw it coming. The other thing, too, I want to ask you about is about Garrett Wilson. And, you know, he made a comment yesterday. It was, I don't know how you take it. I kind of take it as I watch football on Sundays. A lot of teams doing a lot of different things. We don't do a lot of those things. We do things, but we don't do a lot of things.
Well, he's right. That comment is true. I don't know if I'd go out and say that to the press. And when you're saying that, it's basically like, I need more things to do, and you got to get me the football more. That's what I see in that comment. When you say that, you know, you're just bringing up, you know, some more trouble with your football team. And so, yeah, they of course, they got to get on the same page, and they all want more catches. And I know the receivers, you're sitting there in the meetings and you see other teams throwing the ball down the field, everybody making these big catches where they're wide open. Oh, my gosh. You see, when you watch these top offenses, they get guys wide open deep down the field. The Jets have really not done that. And the last thing I'd say about the Jets, just before I forget, they got this guy in the backfield, Braylon Allen. Give him the ball more. Man, just, you know.
Yeah, but Breece Hall is supposed to be like the second coming of Le'Veon Bell. I mean, Breece Hall was supposedly this, you know, all-pro best young running back in the league and had a terrible game last week. I mean, I don't know what he was doing last week, but it was an awful game, and very rarely is it so obvious how awful the game was. I wanted to ask you about one play. One play in last week's game was 4th and 10, and Aaron gets caught on a corner blitz with nobody blocking him.
From the left.
Yeah, from the left. And look, they had 7 guys up at the line of scrimmage. Breece Hall looked like he was going into one of the A-gaps. One of the guys dropped out, and I don't know if he was responsible for the corner coming off the back, but Aaron looked like he thought he was going to be blocked. And I'm wondering whether or not that was just a problem with the offensive scheme, or was it Aaron caught off guard, or was it Breece Hall doing the wrong thing?
I you know, it was hard to tell. I would say if I had to guess, it was just a problem with the scheme. That would be my first thought. When I saw it, I go, okay, I try to figure it out who's got who, but it was everybody was going right. So I just think it was a problem with the scheme. But think of it this way. The Jets had problems with the Denver Broncos and the Blitz. So what do you think this game is going to be about this week with Minnesota? So you know how that is. And, Gio, when you play a blitzing team, it makes you fear because you can get embarrassed by not blocking people, not seeing it, not doing the right things. The receiver changes route, all that. So, man, it's going to be a rough and tough game for sure for the Jets, and their offense has just got to play better.
Is Rob Saleh a good head coach?
Is he a good head coach? Well, you know, the old saying is, you are what your record says you are. So, look.
So then the answer is no.
What's that?
Then the answer is no.
Well, you know, I'm not the good guy to ask that to because I played for, you know, guys that were loud, rough, and, you know, always, and, you know, Robert Saleh is the opposite, man. I'd hate to play poker against him because he doesn't even change his facial expressions during the game. He just stands there and walks around and whatever. So, you know, many things about being a head coach. You can only be who you are. You can't create a personality that fits maybe what people think you should be. So he's doing it his way, and his way is not, it's not working great right now. So it's okay to go in and challenge the football team and call people out. My gosh. And you know, you can't be, once you do that and do it enough, the team gets used to it and they can take it, you know? So if you do it every once in a while, I don't know. To me, that doesn't work. You got to be consistent in the way you treat the players and team. And we'll see where it goes with Robert Saleh.
Phil, great talking to you as always. We will talk to you next week and very, very excited for the Jerry Recco, Boomer Esiason, Phil Simms booth. It might be once in a lifetime, but once in a lifetime is probably too much. So excited for that. We'll see you next time.
One of us could get thrown out of the booth.
Well, wait. So, Gio, you know, listen, the coming here and watching games, I was going to fix it where we could have done that. But then I got this opportunity, and of course, then Boomer butted in and did it too. So he's going to be there. So we'll live with that.
Well, by the way, I did not butt in. I got asked yesterday morning by Jerry Recco if I would do it, and I said, "Yeah, I think I could do it," because that was the day we were supposed to go to Phil Simms' house, and then Rosner sends us an email and says, "You're busy with the Giants." He never said to me anything about you doing any calling of games.
So well, I didn't realize I stuck to the, you know, doing something to the Giants, but I could have got out of it. So I was going to do that.
Well, how am I supposed to know that? I didn't know that.
Well, hell, I didn't know it either until just a couple days ago. So,
well, that's what I'm saying. So don't sit here and tell me that I butt in, because I didn't butt in.
Well, Boomer, come on. They all know how you are. So yeah, we know you.
All right.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Because Boomer just takes the whole segment. He never lets you talk.
No, it's fine. Like I told you, you just spill something over there. You're right.
No.
Yeah. I told you. What happens is I let him have this moment, and then 9 o'clock he puts his feet up, and then I take us to 10. All right. We'll see you next week. All right.
Have me on. All right. Don't forget. Do it for Phil.
Phil. Promo code Phil. Sim Spotlight brought to you by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.